Hi, everybody, and welcome to the FNS Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, back with another solo mission to talk about this week's Ring of Honor, episode 507, which aired on, I believe it was June 5th. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. If you're a new listener, welcome. It's usually myself and my teenage son. On Saturdays, we do a sort of larger show where we talk about NXT, AEW, Dynamite, Impact Wrestling, some wrestling news, some wrestling trivia, some wrestling figure updates. So we'd love if you're sort of new to finding us, checking out that on any Saturday or any of the previous episodes. I think we're up to 46 episodes of that show now. A lot of fun for me and my son, sort of a pandemic hobby that's turned into something that'll probably last beyond the pandemic because we're enjoying doing it. So he's not watching any ROH or Impact due to empty arenas. He really just doesn't care for it at all. So until he gets back in the swing, I've just decided I'm going to sit down on Mondays when I find the time and talk about Ring of Honor for a little bit. I have been mostly enjoying it since the reboot, and I actually thought this week was quite a strong episode. So we're dealing with some nice heat here in Southern Ontario yesterday and today. Quite hot, really nice to have. So hopefully things are going well where you are. We are still under sort of a stay-at-home order, or I guess it's sort of, I don't even know what they call it anymore, but we did get some restrictive measures relieved, but it's still basically you can only go out for essentials, curbside pickup if it's not a grocery store or whatever. So we're still in that sort of phase here, but it looks like maybe by mid-June we can get some further restrictions removed. So I hope where you are, things are safe, things are opening up, people are getting vaccinated, and everybody's staying healthy and safe. And if you're ahead of us, congratulations, because I look forward to getting together with other human beings and going to places and enjoying life. It's been quite a run of this. But regardless, I'm back down here in the basement to talk about some wrestling all by myself in this little room with you guys, I guess. So I don't have much else to say, I don't think, to talk about. So I say we get into talking about this week's what I thought was a pretty strong episode of ROH. So why don't we do that now? So the episode begins this week with a graphic sort of talking about Survival of the Fittest tournament that in fact will start on this episode of the show. And then we get Quinn at her normal desk welcoming us, reminding us that the first tournament match will in fact be Rey Horus versus Demonic now, Flamita. So Flamita turned on the other two members of Mexa Squad a while back, so apparently he has adopted this Demonic moniker, to indicate, I guess, that he is clearly a heel. It kind of reminds me, I don't know if you guys watched it or not, but I think it was season 2 where Pentagon turned to Pentagon Dark and Lucha Underground and he was actually amazing. So it seems like they're taking a cue from that, just sort of making it clear that he is in fact a heel at this point, so with the name Demonic Flamita. So that match will be the opener. She then lets us know in the main event we'll have a sort of protege versus mentor match as Josh Woods will take on Silas Young. And Silas Young, we're told, has turned his back on his protege, Josh Woods, at the 19th anniversary pay-per-view that was, I don't know, maybe a month ago or so. They did already have a match. Silas Young won the match between the two, but only because he got his feet up on the ropes to aid a pinfall. So then another challenge was made, and this is the end result. And this time it will be a pure rules match with the hope that sort of Josh Woods can eliminate all of Silas Young's underhanded cheating and shortcut tactics that he employs, hoping that the pure match will sort of keep that from happening. But we'll find out. Quinn then tells us that the Survival of the Fittest tournament has returned, and as a result of a fan poll that they put out, I guess, that asked which of ROH's annual events fans would like to see return in 2021, and the choice was Survival of the Fittest. So that's kind of cool. I like a good tournament. So this one, the way this works, we'll talk about it here. The structure of this tournament involves, they're going to have 6 qualifying matches with the winners of those 6 matches advancing to a final multi-person elimination match with the winner of that earning a future match for the ROH Championship. So some of the past winners include Jay Lethal, Bryan Danielson, Tyler Black, with now Seth Rollins, obviously, and Adam Cole. So they've all used this opportunity, we're told, to actually earn the ROH title when they did challenge for it. That's a pretty star-studded list of names here, a pretty good indication of ROH's strong history. So I'm hoping, and I did actually go back recently and watch a highlight reel they've been posting of some of the previous Survival of the Fittest tournaments. I think it was a ranking of the top 9 or something. So that was a cool little highlight video I watched. It's easily available on YouTube if anyone wants to sort of get a backstory of this tournament, some of the previous competitors and winners. So yeah, they've explained the tournament for us. And again, this year's will involve 12 wrestlers in 6 matches, with the winner advancing to the multi-person match. So the opening round matches, they actually put up the bracket on the screen. So I paused it and I thought I'd run it down for you guys quickly here. So we're given a little detail. I don't remember if they told us or I just forgot, that everybody involved, none of them have ever had the ROH title, and none of them are currently ranked in the ROH main title rankings. So the people, the matches are Ray Orris versus Flamita, Eli Isom versus Dak Draper, Bandido versus Bateman, Brian Johnson versus Sledge, Chris Dickinson versus Edwards, Danhausen versus Rhett Titus. So I know I gave first names and then I said Edwards. It's because I honestly don't know who they're referring to. And I was going to go and look up their roster and see who Edwards. It's obviously just slipping my mind, but I can't wrap my head around who Edwards is. So I'm sure once I realize who it is, it's going to be one of those moments like, oh, you idiot, of course. But I can't picture who Edwards is. So stay tuned for that. I'll update you on that once I figure it out, I guess. To be honest, looking at that field, right, I don't see a lot of viable contenders for the main championship out of that group. I think Bandido would be my pick. I think he's awesome. I think he's the most main event ready of this group for me. I would also love to see them use this tournament to build Brian Johnson into a main eventer, because I think he's fantastic, but I don't honestly see that happening. That's just me having hope for that. So not a star-studded field, I don't think. It doesn't mean there won't be some good matches and some interesting stuff happening from it, but just at a glance on paper, not some of the big names that you would hope for, I guess. Although maybe if they've already had the title or in the rankings, they're not eligible anyways. So I guess this is what you get. And the first match of round one starts now, and that will be Flamita, Dark Flamita, or sorry, what was he called again? Demonic Flamita, sorry, I forgot, versus Ray Orris. So we get a Spanish promo with subtitles by Flamita before the match starts, with all new black mask that looks pretty cool, I thought. I think it's black, I'm colorblind, there may be some other really dark colors on there, but I maybe a bit of red, I'm not sure, but it looked mostly black to me anyways. I apologize if I'm wrong, because that's quite possible when it comes to colors that I'm wrong. He says that Ray Orris will be the victim. After this match, Flamita will be on top of Ring of Honor, and all members of this business will know that hell has arrived and that hell's name is Flamita. We then get Ray Orris video with a chance to respond. He basically says if Flamita wants to end Mexus Squad and embrace this dark new persona, then he'll get what he wants. He knows that Flamita has heat with Bandido and that he and Bandido have already done battle, but that he shouldn't forget about Ray Orris. Ray came to ROH to make a name for himself just like Flamita, and he will showcase the bad side of himself as well in this match. Orris says he'll win and he'll go on to earn the ROH world title. So both of these promos were really straightforward. They were fine, nothing wrong. My only, if I'm really getting nitpicky, as I tend to do, there's a deep history between these guys and some supposed really bad blood, right? They were part of a faction, they were friends, that's disintegrated, they're now enemies. I was hoping for something a bit more passionate and interesting and intense, maybe, because this was just a straightforward, like, felt like they were almost having a match with just a random guy and talking about it, not so much like this is supposed to be a bitter, bitter feud between these two. But that's okay. I'm still looking forward to the match. Both of these guys can really go. And together, I imagine it's just going to be a sprint. Although, who knows? Maybe Flamita will be working a different style, right? Because he is a heel. So sometimes that high-flying sort of style gets toned down when a heel turn is made. So we'll see. But both of these guys have definitely impressed me in the past. So I was kind of looking forward to this match. So Flamita even has an all-new dark, I would call it, entrance with demonic imagery, there you go, on his Tron. Even some cheesy-looking animation, to be honest, in 2021. It didn't look too great, but they're trying. So he appears wearing a black robe with the hood up, and he's got some, I think, his new logo or whatever on the back of the hood. Kind of looks cool. I appreciate that they're putting in the effort, or he is, whoever is, to make it clear that he's a heel and slightly adjust his character, right? He's not just the same guy, now a heel. He's changing his look, maybe even changing his in-ring style a little bit. We'll find out. I do think that his new ring gear is actually really cool, so he looked good here. Ray Orris then appears in, like, Aztec-inspired gear with what I think is a gold mask on top of his usual mask. Again, color's not my strength, but it looked gold to me, so I'm going to pretend it's gold. So then he removes that and has his regular mask on underneath. We get a tail of the tape, as ROH tends to do. It's interesting to me because both of these men are 5'7". A little bit surprising because they don't seem that small, but I think it's because the average wrestler on the ROH roster is much smaller than, let's say, WWE, especially main roster WWE. So these guys, when they're compared to other wrestlers, don't seem that small, right? 5'7" in WWE, if they're on SmackDown or Raw, the difference would really be glaring. But here, I was a little surprised to hear that they were both just 5'7". Doesn't matter to me. I just thought it was interesting because their presentation does not make them seem that small. So the code of honor is adhered to, but just barely, by Flamita, who just kind of slaps Orisa's outstretched hand. And I don't like to speculate, but I'm going to say it here. The amount of size that Flamita has put on his 5'7 frame, combined with some of the worst back knee, I mean, it spreads to his shoulders and chest, that I have ever seen, make me wonder sort of about ROH's wellness policy, or their version of a wellness policy, or their lack of a wellness policy. Because just looking at this guy, some questions arise. I'll just say that. I don't like to speculate too much. But anyways, he is definitely packed on some muscle. We get a couple of breaks in the corner before Orisa loses focus for a second and gets stomped by Flamita. Then there's lots of speed and high flying with counters and reversals between the two right away. Some other notable stuff in this match along the way. I don't want to go move for move, but there was some cool stuff to discuss here. We got a crazy spear off the apron to the floor by Flamita, really fast, really good impact. We get a chair shot to the back by Flamita. Kind of annoying. The referee doesn't care, and we're just told the referees are allowed to use their discretion. So it's kind of weird. He just straight up picks up a chair and hits him across the back with it, and no DQ at all. We get a somersault salt dive a little bit later over the ropes onto Flamita by Orisa. Flamita sitting in the same chair, I think, that he used to hit Orisa with at that point. We get a really nice standing Spanish fly on the floor by Flamita that was really cool. Huge frog splash by Flamita back in the ring. Some sort of reversal or counter by Orisa that I think was supposed to end in a destroyer. I don't think they got all of it, but in theory, the move looks really cool. So I don't know if they quite hit it the way they wanted to, but it's a cool idea. We get a pendulum DDT by Flamita, later a spinning DDT by Ray Orris, and then a muscle buster into a gourd buster, and then a super kick, and then Flamita gets the pin right there. And I was a little bit surprised by this, I'm not going to lie to you. Flamita did seem to be working a little bit slower style for much of the match. There were still moments where he used his speed and high flying ability, but I feel like it was definitely less than in the past. It didn't bother me either. I kind of like that he's embracing that with the new character. I figured Flamita would win this match because he is showcasing a new character and gear and entrance and everything. And he has that history with Bandido. And I would be shocked if Bandido doesn't advance to the final multi-man match. And I imagine that that storyline will come into play, that Bandido and Flamita are in the match. They sort of have a bitter history together. So I had a feeling Flamita was going to win. But that being said, I was expecting a much more competitive, longer match than this. Like, this wasn't a squash, but Flamita dominated almost the entire match. Orisa never really got his turn, if you will, to showcase much at all. So I was a little surprised. I was kind of waiting, all right, Orisa is going to get his flurry and his chance to look good, and then probably Flamita will end up winning at the end. But Orisa really got very few moves in, and it was mostly a dominating performance by Flamita. I still enjoyed it. It made Flamita look really strong. His new look and attitude, I think, are pretty cool. So I'm happy to see him pick up a quality win here. A fun match, despite being shorter and more one-sided than I anticipated. I still think it was a really good opening match for this show. We then get a promo from Sledge. This is a wrestler I know almost nothing about, and I'm a pretty big wrestling nerd, so this guy slipped by me somehow. He talks about his elimination round opponent, Brian Johnson. I think they're facing next week, so they're just sort of getting ahead of it with the promos, which is fine. So he says that Brian Johnson thinks that ROH owes him something, but Sledge has a reality check for him. ROH owes him nothing. He says Johnson takes shortcuts in the ring and he disrespected his own father. I'm not sure what he's referring to there. I might have missed something. I believe him when he says that, but I off the top of my head, I don't remember Brian Johnson doing that, but we're going to take Sledge's word for it. Sledge then sort of flips a switch. He gets super intense and kind of gets the camera pulled in closer, I think. Says that as a man who lost his own father at 12 and would have given anything for more time with him, Sledge will kick Johnson's ass for his father. And when the match is over, Johnson will crawl to his father and beg for forgiveness. So like I said, I don't know who this guy is. I thought he did a really good job here. His delivery is really good and comfortable. He shifted gears into more intensity, which I thought was really good. Throwing in the part about his own history with his father, I thought made this more real. I was really impressed by this promo. So that's really cool because I love learning about new wrestlers, especially if I think they're good. And I was quite impressed. Not that this was a lengthy promo or anything, but I thought he got his point across really well. His delivery was good and his intensity was excellent. Speaking of intensity, we then get Brian Johnson. He gets his chance to reply to this, and he actually starts out calmly, which is not one of Brian Johnson's strengths. He actually puts over Sledge as a guy who has been open about battling his demons and overcoming them and sort of becoming a role model. That being said, Johnson thinks Sledge is a complete jackass, but he knows what it's like to be willing to do anything to scratch that itch of addiction. He gains some steam now, starts to get a little more animated, and he talks about he's addicted to professional wrestling, and now he's basically yelling. He's done all he can to go down in history, and he needs to win championships, and he will use this tournament to do so. He doesn't care what Sledge has overcome, as he won't overcome Brian Johnson, and the world will know that it's Mecca versus everybody. Another great promo by what I consider one of the best in this business, honestly. His intensity is almost unmatched in promos. I've said it before, outside of Eddie Kingston, I think this guy consistently cuts my favorite promos of everything I watch. And I watch Ring of Honor, Impact, AEW Dynamite, I watch NXT, dabble in main roster from time to time, but usually not. But yeah, NXT UK I watch a ton of stuff. This guy's promos are super intense and angry and believable, and I love all of them. The rage and passion out of this guy are palpable. And even when he starts out calmly, you know the fire is coming. You're waiting for that other shoe to drop with him. You know he's going to get mad and be screaming by the end of this. And I welcome it and look forward to it. I thought this was good work by both of these guys. This raised my interest for this match, to be honest, which is what promos are supposed to do, right? I don't know who Sledge is, but based off his promo and Brian Johnson's rebuttal, I'm very interested in this match. And so we get to see that next week, and good job by these guys for sure. We then get the main event, which is, just judging by when it started, going to get a lot of time on this episode, and that's a Pure Rules match. They do announce they've extended the time limit to 30 minutes. It is Silas Young versus Josh Woods. It's usually a 15-minute time limit in Pure matches. If you're not watching ROH and you're just relying on my recaps, Pure Rules sort of mean that there are things like you only get 3 rope breaks, and then after that, any move in the ropes, it won't be broken. The guy can just maintain it. You also get 1 closed fist. You get a warning on the second one, you get disqualified. Any sort of interference by anyone leads to their immediate termination from Ring of Honor. So the idea is, as the name says, this is more the pure version where there shouldn't be people cheating and taking shortcuts. They're trying to eliminate all of that. But guess what? All of these things pretty much will come into play during this match. So for this one, we cut to a Silas recorded promo as he's making his entrance to the actual match. They cut away to a little pre-recorded segment by him. He talks about Josh Woods complaining about how Young beat him last time, which he did. He used his feet on the ropes to gain leverage on the pinfall, obviously an illegal move, but that's kind of the story of this relationship. Nothing will be different in a pure match, he says. It's not about who's biggest or strongest, it's about who's the smartest, and Josh can't touch his intelligence. Woods gets his turn with the video as he's entering as well. He's sort of buzzed off all of his hair, has a very short haircut now. He says that he knew Silas couldn't beat him and he would need to cheat, and he thinks Silas Young knew that too. There will be a definite winner in this pure match, and Woods will prove that he is the better wrestler. So these two promos, they were fine. I mean, they were both very generic. They're both really brief, to be fair. And just following the promos from Johnson and Sledge in the previous segment, I thought these were just fine, but obviously they don't compare very well because I thought both of those were excellent. But the story between these two is definitely already more defined. Probably needs less from the promos, because if you're following the product, you sort of know the story. This is the mentor Silas Young and his protege Josh Woods, who are now sort of at odds with each other and trying to settle their differences. I will nitpick a little here, because again, it's what I do. I think too much and too deeply about these things sometimes. This pure match is sort of deemed necessary because it's so that Silas Young can't cheat, right? But technically, pure rules, even if their last match had been pure rules, it would have made no difference because the ref simply didn't see that Silas Young had his feet on the ropes to earn the pinfall, right? So nothing about a pure rules is going to change that. If the ref doesn't see it, he's still not going to enforce the rules. So with that exact same thing being possible here, I actually thought that once I started thinking those thoughts, that that would be a cool way for this match to go. That Woods gets the match he wants, pure rules, but that somehow Silas Young still cheats or the ref doesn't notice and Silas still gets the win. I think that would be a cool storyline, like, right? Like, sure, you pick the match where I can't cheat and you have the advantage and I still won. But we'll see where this match goes. So we get the tail of the tape again in this match, and it reveals that much like the previous match, these two men are basically the exact same size, this time a little bit bigger. They're both 6 feet, 220 pounds. They do adhere to the code of honor, although Silas Young is obviously less willing to, but he does sort of slap. I think it's similar to the first match. It was more of like a low five than a handshake for the code of honor. Right away, you can hear Silas Young taunting Josh Woods early about Woods getting pushed around in his own match because it's sort of their tussling to begin, and Young saying, look, I'm pushing you around in the match type you wanted kind of thing. We get holds and counters to start, both standing up and on the mat. Young, surprisingly, at one point sort of does a backflip to escape a move, which he doesn't look like a guy that should be executing a backflip, but he did, and it was pretty impressive. So then mid-match, for some reason, Silas Young is seeking another handshake. And Woods is just this naive guy, right? So he agrees. And of course, Young uses that to apply a headlock, turns away from the referee, uses a closed fist that the ref obviously can't see. And I really like this touch. Like, Silas is telling the story of he's still going to find ways to cheat and take shortcuts because that's what he does. And he's trying to send the message to Josh Woods. Like, if you want to be a successful professional wrestler and not an amateur wrestler, you need to embrace all of these tactics that are available to you. And Josh just isn't. He's trying to win on his ability and his massive strength and stuff. And Silas is saying, listen, you need to sometimes do some underhanded things. That's part of pro wrestling, right? He's trying to mentor this boy. So he's still finding ways to cheat in a pure rules match, which I quite liked. Woods eventually overpowers Young in the corner as the ref sort of gets in between them to force the break, and he's kind of down low. Young lands another closed fist over top of the ref, and the ref doesn't see it. So Woods at this point snaps, basically, and he just lands a huge closed fist haymaker to Young. And he's issued the warning by the referee because you only get one closed fist in a pure rules match. So if he gets caught with another one, he'll be disqualified. And he's sort of complaining because Silas Young has punched him twice and the ref missed it. So I really like this dynamic and story they're developing, is that, again, Silas Young is the cagey veteran. He knows when to engage in these tactics when he's not going to get caught. And Woods hasn't learned yet, even though Young's trying to teach him, right? You got mad. You used a closed fist right in front of the ref, like, be smarter sort of thing. We then get a twisting suplex by Woods a little bit later. I thought looked nice. He is just honestly so strong. It's crazy. We get a rear naked choke by Woods, and Young has to use a rope break, which he actually turns into a pinfall attempt with his feet on the ropes again. But this time the ref notices, and it's one of his rope breaks is gone. I thought that was a nice detail that he tries the same move, but it actually gets noticed this time. Both men are on the apron a little bit later, teasing suplexes to the other. So Young avoiding the suplex by holding onto the ropes is ruled as his second rope break. So as Wood releases the hold, Young obviously again takes advantage by hitting a DDT onto the apron. Just again, his craftiness. I love the story he's telling here. This is all stuff that if Woods would just do it, he would be a dominant force, but he won't. So he may lose because of it again. Young hits his roll through slam, ends up getting caught doing the headstand part he does on the top turnbuckle. But again, he grabs the rope as he's sort of in a fireman's carry from Woods, and that is Silas Young's final rope break, so he has no more left. No holds will be broken if they're applied in the ropes. You can still earn a submission in or among the ropes now. So we get a backbreaker into a clothesline followed by a knee by Silas Young. We get what he calls the anarchist suplex, and Woods uses his first rope break at this point, and that's at about 20 minutes into the match. So Wood picks up Young again, just so strong, this guy. Runs him straight forward while hitting a roll of the dice into the corner turnbuckles. It looked awesome. We get the beast lock, which is Josh Woods, basically an inverted cloverleaf on the ground. He applies it to Young, who grabs the ropes, but again, he has no more rope breaks, so he eventually does have to tap, and we do get the protege, Josh Woods, defeating his one-time mentor in what I thought was a really good main event. Since the time limit was extended for this match, the opening several minutes were the Josh Woods style that I don't love as much. And it's just me personally, I'm not saying it's bad. It's the realistic holds, the realistic counters for several minutes at a time. I'm sure a lot of people love it, and it is probably technically really impressive. For me personally, prolonged periods of that type of wrestling are not what I find interesting. But this match made up for it with excellent storytelling by both of these men. You've got basically the ideas. Woods is the physically gifted, somewhat naive or not very bright. I don't know which one it is, or both in some regards. And then Young is the older. He's not in as good a shape. He's nowhere near as strong or athletic, but he's a true professional that has that high ring IQ and will use whatever's available him to pick up wins. So I really like the story of this match. I had a feeling Woods was going to get his win back here, which is good. There's been matches I didn't enjoy Josh Woods, but I do see the talent here. I do see what other people see in him. It's just when he embraces the more professional wrestling style, I really get into his matches. I don't mind if he incorporates his technical holds throughout the match, just not the entire thing. He's got to mix it up a bit for me, but I really like this match. It was a cool story coming in. I feel like they carried on that story throughout the match. A really strong main event. Both matches I really enjoyed this week. So the show then ends by revealing the matches for next week. We're going to get Eli Isom versus Dak Draper. And then I guess Dragon Lee and Kenny King will face Rhett Titus and Tracy Williams in a pure rules match for the ROH Tag Team Championships. So maybe we're not getting Brian Johnson and Sledge next week, but we'll see. I thought they said we did. Maybe they're going to squeeze three matches in next week. Sometimes they do. But those are the only two they officially tell us here as the sort of show goes off the air. So overall, this week, I thought this was a really good episode featuring two strong matches, really different in style, which I also like. You kind of have the one about speed and high flying, the other one more about technical stuff and professional wrestling from Silas Young. So I really like the two different styles here. The opener was definitely more one-sided than I expected, but still a really fun match with Flamita dominating using a slightly toned down style, I think, this week for his new sort of darker heel persona that I'm kind of enjoying. I like the new attitude. I like his presentation. And again, I assume he and Bandido, their issues will sort of come to a boil in the final match of this tournament. I have a feel. I can't see Bandido not making it to the final match. I would have him as my favorite to win it all. So I assume that's where the story is going. And I'm okay with that because this version of Flamita is cool, and Bandido is one of my favorites in Ring of Honor, so I look forward to that. The main event of Josh Woods and Silas Young was excellent. It started out in a style of wrestling I don't love, but the storytelling and just the work of these two guys sort of took over. I thought it was pretty fantastic by the end. It really felt like Josh just has some things he could still learn about professional wrestling, right? And that Young was trying to teach him the hard way. This match was hard-hitting. I was really into it by the end after starting out being sort of okay, ho-hum. By the end, I thought it was a really strong match from both of them. Then in between these matches, I thought we got two excellent promos from Sledge, kind of out of nowhere because I don't know much about him. And then what I expect from Brian Johnson, one of my favorite promos in the business, did not disappoint me. And as I said, those promos sort of increased my interest in that match, which is exactly what a promo is supposed to do. So they were very effective, I thought. Basically, I thought this show flew by. There was nothing about it I didn't like, right? So this episode actually earned, I usually grade things out, I gave it an A-. I recommend that people check it out. If you're not normally watching ROH, or maybe you're just listening to this to hear what's good or just to keep up, I thought this was a really good episode. And if you're looking to get into ROH, maybe check it out. I thought there was some strong work on this show all around. And just before I go, I did stumble across ROH is doing like women's matches on Wednesdays, and you can find them on YouTube. So I checked out a match last night between, I think it's the most recent one they've done, between Willow and Alex Gracia. I can't say it was a strong match. You've kind of got Willow's a powerhouse, and Alex Gracia is a much smaller, wearing pink. I don't quite know what her, I think it was pink, again, a color. Probably pink, we'll say. So I didn't think it was an amazing match. There seems to be some potential there with Willow, but there was some sloppiness. And I went back and watched another compilation of the highlights of these Wednesday night. And I'm not trying to be rude, but if those were the highlights of the matches, I don't feel like I need to see the matches. So a women's division in ROH would be cool, but from what I'm seeing at first glance, and I could be completely wrong and change my opinion later, but I'm not super impressed with the talent they've assembled so far. I'm going to check it out a little bit more closely probably and see if I can change my mind. I was just watching highlights mostly and then one complete match. But again, if you're calling those highlights and I'm not impressed by them, it doesn't motivate me to go and check out the full match, to be honest. But anyways, I think that's going to wrap up this week's Ring of Honor review. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I enjoyed this episode. I always enjoy coming down and talking about wrestling. Starting to feel a little bit more comfortable doing these solo missions and just talking to myself. Feels a bit weird at first to do it, but If you did enjoy this, please feel free to like, subscribe, follow, whatever those things are that you guys know how to do wherever you're listening to this. And if you haven't already, please, I'd love for you to go and check out one of our flagship shows, episode 46. We just put out this past Saturday for some more wrestling talk. My teenage son will be there. It's not just me talking on those ones. I have some help from my son. If you'd like to contact us, love to hear from anyone, fnswrestling@gmail.com, fns_wrestling_podcast on Instagram, or if you're listening to this on YouTube, although almost nobody does, if you're one of those few that listening on YouTube, you can just leave a comment in the comment section and I will get back to everybody at this point that contacts me. You will hear back from me. So I look forward to any sort of constructive criticism, praise, just saying hi, just saying, hey, we actually listen. Any feedback is welcome and appreciated. So thanks in advance for that. That being said, I think we can wrap up this episode of my Ring of Honor review, and I hope to see a whole bunch of you back on Saturday for our main show, episode 47 this week, and I hope that you have a great week. Until then, we'll see you on Saturday, and until then, take care.